Before we begin this morning's service, I want to say, Richard, thank you so much. I appreciate what you bring to us in music and allow us that wonderful closing for the Lord's Prayer was beautiful. You see, music carries a vibration that when we tune into it, it allows the heart to open and to expand and to feel, you know, what words can't express. Sometimes we get lost in words when the feeling is all that matters, you know. So I'm grateful and thankful. I appreciate you. And I appreciate the members of this congregation so much. I value you. I honor you. I give thanks to God for you. And I mean that literally. And I'm always, every Sunday before I come out, I'm always giving thanks and praise and acknowledgement that something will move us all during this hour together. Something will touch us and something will bless us. Something will move us and heal us and transform us. That's always my prayer. And so I want to thank our opening worship leaders and platform person because I could hear them trying to move the energy, saying that this was a day that the Lord has made, you know. We've got to be open and grateful and thankful. So turn to somebody and just tell them, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Yeah. I appreciate you. And it's good to be appreciated, isn't it? Yes. I value you. I see you. I honor you. We all want that type of recognition. We want someone to see our light. And we like to see the light of others. So it's a good thing to do. So before I go preaching on another topic that I wasn't prepared to talk about. This is a wonderful day. Not only is it the day that the Lord has made and that we're rejoicing in it, but this is the last Sunday in the month of January. Now, for me, usually once February comes, for me, it is no longer the beginning of a new year. That whatever it was that I was going to establish for the new year needed to be established in the first few weeks. Otherwise, I might not ever get it started, right? So we have like those first 4 weeks, or if there are five Sundays, 5 weeks to get it done, to establish our new way of being. And one would think that because the motivation is high at the beginning of the year, that by the end of January, our new habits and our goals or our new desires would somehow be formed. After all, we had about 4 or 5 weeks to form them and to work on them, right? They say that it takes about 21 days to create a new habit. So we've had more than 21 days, have we not? Yes. Now, I'm not going to poll the audience, but I am wondering how many people are still doing what they affirmed they would do at the beginning of the year. How many of us are still doing that? You know, because sometimes it is challenging to keep up, right, with our intentions. And I'm thinking, why is it so hard to carry out our stated intentions or the desires of our hearts or to do the things that we really want to do? We want to do them. But we repeatedly sometimes find ourselves back into our old habits, back into our old ways of being. A friend just gave me a book recently titled Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza. Now, she doesn't like the title. She said she didn't care for the title, although she loved the book and she wanted me to have it, so she gave it to me. But I love the title. I love the title because I think it really aptly points to our basic problem. We are in the habit of being ourselves. We're in the habit of being ourselves, and we love being ourselves. Meaning that when we're in the habit of being ourselves, meaning that we are used to doing what we've always done, right? We're used to responding the way we've always responded. We're used to reacting the way we've always reacted, and responding and reacting are two different things. But we're used to reacting the way we've always reacted. We're used to thinking the way we always thought. And we're used to feeling what we always felt. In other words, we're in the habit of being ourselves. And to do anything different from what we're used to doing, used to thinking, used to feeling, used to reacting, to do anything different would mean breaking the habit of being ourselves. So let's look at some habits. Let's look at what a habit is. I want to see if we can get some clarity around, first of all, what a habit is. And to me, a habit is a thought or a feeling or even an action that becomes wired in our brains through repetition. You keep doing the same thing. Not only will you get what you always got, but you are wiring now that activity, that feeling, that thought into your brain so that it now becomes a habit. It sort of gets grooved, a groove in your consciousness, but in your brain, not your consciousness, your brain has been established. If I want to put more than a groove, I'll put it in scientific terms. They call it a neural pathway. It's been established, right? So, and it's that neural pathway or that groove has been established through repeated thought or feelings or actions. And when that happens, once that groove is established, once that neural pathway is established, then future thoughts and future feelings and future actions will simply ride along the pathways that are already established for it. So we don't even have to think about some things. We just do them automatically. So what happens is we just unconsciously keep doing the same thing over and over. We unconsciously now keep thinking the same way. We unconsciously keep feeling the same way because we've got that groove established. We've got that thing that we keep doing until somehow it gets changed. You see, because what's really insidious about this process, and this is scientific, they've already proven this is what happens in our brains. But what is insidious is that the more we do it, the more we think it, the more we feel it, guess what? The more we do it, the more we will think it, and the more we will feel it. And you get into a pattern until a new groove is established, until a new neural pathway is established. Turn to somebody and tell them, I need a new groove. I need a new groove. I need a new groove. And it's true. We need a new way of being. So obviously, we need a new thought or a new feeling or a new action that we can somehow repeat over and over until we're able to create a new groove or a new neural pathway. And so what that means is that while we, in order to create this new groove in our brains, this new way of thinking, a new way of being and seeing and feeling, that means that we have to be extremely conscious of our thoughts, conscious of our efforts, conscious about what thoughts and feelings and actions we are repeating to ourselves. And here's the fun part. We have to also be conscious about our unconsciousness. Because it's the unconsciousness that causes us to keep saying the same thing and repeating. If we're not listening to ourselves, if we're not seeing ourselves, we're not looking at the actions, we just keep going in that groove. So we've got to be conscious now about our unconsciousness. So there are a few things that we can do to help us to create not only a new thought, a new feeling, and a new action that we're designed, but also a new you, a new us, a new me. That is, you know, being the person you want to be. Because some of it, we want to be better people, right? We want to get rid of some of those things that we don't necessarily care for about ourselves. I want to be calmer when I'm having a conversation with a customer service person on the telephone. You know, I really do. Doesn't always happen, but I want to be better at that. We want to do things that are in alignment with our stated intentions. We want to have what we desire to have. We want to be, we want to do, we want to have all that is good. So if we're going to do this and looking at how we're going to change this new group, let's begin with this notion that not only Dr. Joe Spencer talks about, but that is very popular amongst the field of quantum physics. We're metaphysicians. And metaphysicians go beyond the literal. And the field of quantum physics is really in alignment with what we teach and think and feel and believe. So we're going to begin with the notion that we live in a quantum field of possibility. You can call it the kingdom of heaven. You can call it the field of God's substance and energy. You can call it whatever you like. It's the stuff of the universe. It's the energetic field, the creative energy of God, but physicists call it the quantum field of possibility, the realm of possibility, right? So we live in this field. It's all around us. The old folks used to call it the ethers, you know, that you pull stuff out of the ethers. So we live in this quantum field of possibility, and as we work with and on our consciousness, we can then begin to draw our stated intentions, actions, and the desires and the results that we want to have. But we've got to be clear on how we're going to do that. So here's the key. Whenever we're trying to change our thought or to break a habit, it's not enough to just have a new thought. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know what, I think I'll stop smoking. And so that's a new thought. And then, you know, maybe not even 10 minutes later, you find yourself picking up your cigarette, or maybe I think I'll stop drinking and you have the drink. Whatever habit it is, whatever it is that you want to give, a new thought alone is not going to be enough. You also have, they say in quantum physics, you must also have a feeling that matches that thought. There must be a corresponding feeling or vibration that accompanies that thought, because it is only when we can generate some emotional energy around the thought that it begins to manifest. Even as a metaphysician, when we say, we study the law of mind action, which says thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. But it's the holding of that thought in consciousness. And the longer you hold it, it begins to generate a vibration, which is a feeling, right? And so you can't just have a thought, because if that were the case, we would all be, we'd be perfect, because I just think it and there it is. I've had many new thoughts. They haven't all worked out because I was missing an ingredient, you see. So that thought must be accompanied by a corresponding feeling that matches the thought, because that is how creation comes into being. Now, there's a group that has been around for a while. It's called HeartMath. I've talked about it before. But it is a scientific group of scientists who are into studying what the effects of what they call a high positive emotion and feeling has upon our ability to manifest something. So they study high emotions, high vibrations, high feelings like love and gratitude and joy and bliss, appreciation, happiness, and they study the effects of those thoughts, those high thoughts, in relationship to how we manifest something, how we draw it into being, how it matches with our intentions and our desires, and therefore the results. Now, Dr. Joe Spencer says this, He writes in his book, only when subjects, and he's talking about some of the experiments that were done in HeartMath or at HeartMath. He says, only when subjects held both heightened emotions and clear intentions in alignment were they able to produce the intended effects. Only when they were able to what? Hold high emotions and clear objectives together were they able to produce an intended effect. He goes on to say, what the HeartMath experiment demonstrates is that the quantum field doesn't respond simply to our wishes, our emotional requests. It doesn't just respond to our aims or our thoughts. It only responds when those two are aligned or coherent. That is, when they are broadcasting the same signal. You get that? When your thought and your feeling are broadcasting the same signal. He says, when we combine an elevated emotion with an open heart and a conscious intention with clear thought, we signal the field, the quantum field, the realm of God, whatever you want to call it, we signal the field to respond in amazing ways. And he says this, I love this. He says, the quantum field does not, responds not to what we want, it responds to who we are being. Now that's powerful to think about. The quantum field does not respond to what we want, it responds to who we are being. So when you say and think something like this, when you say and think, I want to go to the gym, because that was probably on lots of people's list at the beginning of the year. It was on mine. I want to go to the gym to exercise and to become healthier. Now, if that statement and that thought is not also met with a high emotional state to go along with that thought, chances are it's not going to happen. Or if it happens, it will only happen briefly for a while because there's nothing else to sustain it except for the thought, I think I'll go to the gym so I can get healthier, right? If you cannot generate excitement or a high emotion to go along with the thought of going to the gym, as a lifestyle or a way of being, it won't happen. Now, when you can do that, when you can match those two, and your feeling nature about going to the gym somehow matches the thought, because we know that, you know, going would produce good health. It's healthy for us. We know that. You know, it's not that we don't. We know that it's right. But it's that feeling of, wow, gee, can I get excited about going to the gym? See? Because we say, well, I think I'll go to the gym because what? I should go. I what? Want to go. It's a good thing for me to go. We could come up with all the rationalizations, but until you can say, I want to go to the gym this morning. You know what I mean? Until you can feel excitement about going to the gym or a vibration of love about going to the gym, joy about going to the gym, bliss about going to the gym. See, because until then, it's just a should and a want, and after a while, you're like, ugh. It doesn't have the foundation that we need. And so what happens is when you start generating that feeling, this is what we have to work on. See, we're good at the thinking part. It's generating these positive feelings and really holding that vibration that we have to work on. But if you can begin to hold that vibration and have it be a sense of, yeah, you know what? I want to go. I'm excited about going. You hold on to that, chances are it will probably happen. Because the feelings that you're now generating are broadcasting a signal or a vibration to the quantum field of energy that will begin to draw to you your desired effect. This is really powerful stuff. So you've got to get excited about the gym. You've got to feel joy and love about the gym. You've got to feel, you know, that you'll be blessed and that it's such a wonderful thing. And you couple that with the thought that you have about the goodness and the effects of going to the gym. But when you can couple that, then you're going to be on to something. And if you can hold that excitement about going to the gym long enough, see, that's what happens. We only have it for 2 days or 3 days or 2 weeks. You know, I'm going to go to the gym and we do it and then it peters out. But if you can couple that emotion with it, it will last longer. And that means the longer you can hold that vibration about loving and wanting and going to the gym, you begin to what? Create a new what? A new groove. A new habit. a new being that will begin to last. You also begin not to only create this new group, but you begin to signal to the universe that it is to assist you. You see, you're calling, when you're putting out that vibration, you're putting out that energy that is calling from the ethers, gathering energy, so that you'll then be able to actually do what you want to do. So this is it. I love it. Joe Dispenza says this. He says, a thought sends out the signal, and the emotion draws it to us. The thought that we have sends out the signal, but it is the emotion that draws it to us, that causes that corresponding vibration to then return to us. What you put out is what you receive. Usually we have a whole bunch of thoughts. We got loads of thoughts. We don't have any problem in creating them. We got loads of thoughts running through our heads, but no strong feelings around those thoughts. They're just thoughts. They could be wary thoughts or whatever. Lots of thoughts, but no feelings around those thoughts. And not much happens when that happens, except there's a whole lot of thinking going on. And nothing else, right? Or what we have is the same thing keeps going around over and over and over again. We keep repeating the same things. So, friends, to really effect some kind of change, we must not only change our thoughts, but we have to add very powerful feelings to the thought. The quantum field responds not to what we want, it responds to who we are being. You see, you are broadcasting every day, every moment, consciously or unconsciously. With your thoughts, you're broadcasting, sending out the signals on a daily basis. And especially when you have a lot of energy around negative thoughts, don't be surprised when that stuff comes back. Maybe not in the exact thought you have, but it'll come back in that corresponding vibration. You know, so what happens is we're consciously and unconsciously sending out these signals. And on a daily basis. And what we need to do is we need to be able to be aware of our state of being. Because the quantum field, the universe, God, heaven, whatever, responds to the who you are being and not necessarily what you're doing, but the who you are being. See, here's the thing that I love. Sometimes we'll say one thing but feel another, right? And you know that doesn't work. Because you can tell yourself a lie. But your feelings will always tell you the truth. You can say all you want. You can tell yourself a lie, but your feelings are going to tell you the truth. So we've got to work on this heart space, moving our heart space, being conscious of our feeling nature, and we have to become more practiced in feeling that what they call in heart math high emotions, like joy and love and happiness and gratitude and praise giving, you know, and appreciation, excitement, bliss, these high emotions and qualities of being that really are of God, qualities of being. So you need to check yourself and ask, well, what is my state of being right now? See, during the day, we just go unconscious from time to time and stop and say, what is my state of being right now? Who am I being? You see, what's my state of being? And if you find out that, you know, right now you're down, or right now you're a little off course, or right now you're depressed, or right now, you know, you're just not in alignment, or right now you're off balance, then you need to write it right then. What's my state of being? Well, I'm a little off balance. I'm a little, you know, not quite where I want to be. Dr. Dispenza says you should ask yourself, how can I think, feel, and behave differently to produce the effects or the results that I want? It's not about who's not giving you what you want. It's not about how the circumstances are showing up in your life. It is how can I think, feel, or behave differently in order to produce the effect and the results that I want? This is what it means to be a master metaphysician. To be conscious of what's going on, your thinking, thoughts, and feeling, and behaving, and acting, and choosing to create the life that you want. So we really want to spend some time then learning how to generate and dwell in these high emotional states of being, being thankful, praising things, even the small things. I find a penny, I just do a happy dance. I'm thankful. or somebody smiles at me, I light up and I'm grateful. And I'm just praising all these small things all day long. Just begin to generate this vibration. Being appreciative is very powerful. Find 10 things. So when the close of the day comes, you should have at least 10 things that you have found yourself being very appreciative of. Or start off your day in that morning. Maybe there's somebody on your job who just is a kind being and always has a smile for you. Then appreciate that. Feel that. Make sure that you get into this vibration and that the vibration becomes a familiar one to you. And that you can generate this vibration of gratitude, praise, happiness, joy, bliss, so that it's a vibration that you carry with you, so that when you have your thoughts automatically are going to match this high vibration that you carry, that you express with you. And this is going to help you, because it'll help you when you're sending out, you know, signaling thoughts to the field of possibility. It's already going to begin to draw to you your good thoughts because you're vibing at a different vibration. And because one way to do this, he stresses this other technique that I happen to make sure that I stress every week to you guys. He's also found out and proved scientifically, he and others, that meditation or meditating also changes your brain waves, and it changes your electromagnetic field, what we're broadcasting. Because believe it or not, we're always putting out an essence of ourselves, right? You can come into somebody else's electromagnetic field and say, I think I need to move over here. Or maybe I need to beef up my field so my field broadcasts and supersedes that field. Whichever way. But what happens is, he says, meditation changes the brain waves, and it also changes our electromagnetic fields by raising our vibration and energy field so that we then tap the quantum field more readily and more easily. So what it does, meditation actually works on who you are being, because it works on these qualities of being at peace, being at oneness, you know, being in alignment, being one with God, being one with life, feeling a sense of joy. All these higher qualities of being, meditation takes you there, and it deepens your groove. It works on who you're being, but it then deepens your grooves, and it creates this new neural pathway. So we're meditating not only to find conscious union with God, but we're meditating to change our brain, to rewire the brain, to create new grooves for ourselves. And it helps us to break the habit of being our old selves. Being our old selves. So if you'll bear with me, I want to read a little bit from Joe Dispenza's book on his take on meditation, because it's a little different than what we would think. He says, don't think of meditation always as a little man sitting up on, you know, in the mountains of the Himalayas and just, you know. No, there are many things, many types of meditation, but this is how he sees it and uses it as a tool. He says, in the Tibetan language, to meditate means to become familiar with. Accordingly, I use the term meditation as a synonym for self-observation as well as self-development. After all, to become familiar with anything, we have to spend some time observing it. Again, the key moment in making any change is going from being it to observing it. Remember, quantum physics is all about observing, because what they have discovered is that the observer actually changes the thing that's being observed by just observing it, right? So another way to think of this transition, he says, is when you go from being a doer to a doer watcher, a doer slash watcher. And an easy analogy I can use is that when athletes or performers, golfers, skiers, swimmers, dancers, singers, or actors want to change something about their technique, most coaches have them watch their videotape of themselves. How can you change from an old mode of operation to a new one unless you can see what the old and new look like? Now, it's important that we get this whole concept about this seeing. He says it's the same with your old and new self. How can you stop doing things one way without knowing what it looks like? which means you don't even know that you're doing it. You don't even know that you're saying it. So how can you change it or stop it? You've got to be able to see it in yourself, right? This is key. Otherwise, the groove just keeps working and you just keep doing it. And you keep saying, why is this happening to me again? You've got to see yourself. So he says, I frequently use the term unlearning to describe this phase of changing. This process of becoming familiar with the self works both ways. You need to see the old and the new self. You have to observe yourself so precisely and vigilantly, as I've described, that you won't allow any unconscious thought, emotion, or behavior to go unnoticed. And what he's saying is you got to start seeing yourself. You got to start catching yourself when you're in the act of being your old self, when you're in the act of doing your habitual responses. Catch yourself and see the old self, right? See this, this unconscious thought or emotion or behavior. So now, you know, I've been practicing this. So when I get the customer service person on the telephone, I'm really able to sort of see my, I have the feeling is coming up. But I'm starting to say, I'm watching this. And the intensity of it is not as great. It doesn't mean that I've stopped saying what I needed to say or directing them to how to give better customer care and service. But the manner in which I'm able to do it feels different. It really is, because I can see myself in this old pattern. So he says, since you have the equipment to do this because the size of your frontal lobe, you can look at yourself and decide what you want to change in order to do a better job in life. When you can become conscious of those unconscious aspects of the old habituated self rooted in the operating system of the subconscious, when you can see all that, you are beginning the process of changing anything about yourself. You've got to start seeing. Now, once we can see the old and we can catch ourselves when we're in the midst of it and go, oh, wow, you know, this is what happens. Now, we want to be able to give greater expression. He says, now let's take it one step further. Once you have become familiar with the old self to the extent that no thought, no behavior, and no feeling will cause you to fall unconsciously into previous patterns, this is the process now. You might agree that it would be a good idea to begin to become familiar with a new self. So if we're going to break the habit of being our old selves, we're going to have to create a what? A habit of being our new selves, right? So he says, accordingly, you may ask yourself, what is a greater expression of myself that I would like to be? So even in the midst of when I'm having my conversation with my customer service person, if I could say, now, what is the greater expression of myself that I would like to be in this moment? Right? I bring my conscious awareness that I really want to change and I want something to be different. He says, if you turn on your frontal lobe and contemplate, this is where the meditation comes in, contemplate those aspects of yourself, you will begin to make your brain work differently than your past self. So you get a picture and an image of your new self that you would like to be, the highest expression or whatever expression you want to be. And you begin to contemplate that new self to be able to see how you really want to be. And you begin to hold that vision, that image, that feeling of your new self. He says you'll begin to make your brain work differently from your past self. And he says as your frontal lobe, which is the CEO, entertains the new question, and your question is, what is a greater expression of myself that I would like to be? And the moment you pose that question to your brain, what he says happens is it begins to start looking for ways to be your new self. Okay? So he says, it looks out over the landscape of the rest of the brain and seamlessly combines all of your stored knowledge and experiences into a new model of thought. It helps to create an internal representation for you to begin to focus on. And this contemplation process begins to build new neurological networks so that all of a sudden you're beginning to see a new you. And then in summary, he says, let's summarize here. According to our working model of meditation, all you have to do is to remind yourself of who you no longer want to be. That is, see that old pattern so you can recognize it when it pops up. Got to see it, got to own it, which means you can't be telling stories to yourself about how you're just so wonderful. You got to see all the unwonderfulness, right? He says, so according to our working model of meditation, all you have to do is remind yourself of who you no longer want to be until this becomes a familiar habit that you know your old self. The thoughts, behaviors, and emotions connected to the old you that you want to change. To the extent that you unfire and unwire this old mind away and that it no longer signals the same genes in the same way. Then, once you see yourself, your old self, he says, then you repeatedly contemplate, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? You know, we get to choose, who do you want to be? You think, well, this is just the way I am. No. That's the way you have been conditioned to be. That is the pattern you've set yourself up to be through whatever reasons. But it does not have to be who you want to be or you know, who you're showing up as for the rest of your life. You can change yourself. So he says, then you repeatedly contemplate, who do you want to be? And as a result, you will fire and wire new levels of mind to which you will emotionally and genetically condition the body until they become familiar to you and second nature to you. He says, and when that happens, that's change. That's change. So, you know, we have a work to do. Pick anything that you want to work on. Bite, little small bites. Don't try to change your whole everything. Pick one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you take a journey of 1,000 miles? One step at a time. Pick one little something that you're going to work on, because this takes work and consciousness. Maybe it's procrastination or maybe it's, you know, eating unconsciously. Whatever it is, pick one of those habits that you want to change and begin to see it. See yourself in the midst of it. Look at it so that you can recognize it. Catch yourself in it and understand, I see. This is me. What are you feeling when that's happening? What are you thinking when that's happening? You know, when you're procrastinating, what's really going on? What are you really thinking and feeling when you are procrastinating? So that you can see what the trigger is or what the fear is. Maybe you're afraid of success. Whatever it is, begin to explore the old you, the habituated you, and see it. And once you begin to see it, now think, and what is the greater experience or expression of myself that I want to be? See that. All you have to do is see. See that. See that. Meditate on that. Contemplate that. Speak of that. Try to feel that. Try to get into the habit of feeling this new thing. And do this over and over and over again until it becomes familiar to you. Until it becomes now a new groove in you. So we think it. We feel it. We see it. Habitually, repeatedly, and all of a sudden, you begin to create new space, a new groove, so that you can become it. So what I'm saying is, you can break the habit of being your old self. The scripture says, behold, I make all things new. And I'm saying, okay, I didn't do it in January, but February is coming. So begin again. Blessings. Namaste and blessings. Namaste. Blessings. Blessings.